Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Good morning, and welcome aboard. For the next 3 hours, we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the Mr. Fix-It Show. Your host, Lou Manfredini, is handy, witty, and some might even say, the bomb. But wherever this journey takes you, you'll surely have an enjoyable time.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
At this time, please make sure your coffee is hot, radio is turned up, and tool belt is tightly fastened. All portable electronic devices must not be set to airplane mode in order to stream live.
I'm excited, and I feel relaxed, and I'm ready to party!
We know you have a choice with Bear Your Dial Lands on Saturday mornings. So on behalf of the entire cabin crew, we thank you for riding the airwaves of the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Buckle up!
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
It's going to be a bumpy ride, folks. It's Lindsay Smithwick in for Lou Manfredini. Normally, I am behind the producer booth running this show, but today, for some reason, Lou and the whole WGN crew has given me the chance to sit at the mic and take over for the next 3 hours.
Well, at least this time we can see you. Normally, we're
hey,
back.
Hey, there you go. You know, so. Right behind the window. Yeah. This morning, we've got Bennett back there in the producer booth. Thank you so much to him for please keep me on. In shape here. Luckily, I'm also joined. I'm not here by myself. I've got two of my favorite NARI experts, Mike Holmes with Creative Carpentry and Jim Sullivan with Tate Enterprises. Thank you guys for being here.
Hey, yeah, it's good to be here.
It's a good team. So.
It is a good team.
Can we get some peanuts on this flight, though?
No peanuts. No peanuts. Only coffee. Papa Nicholas coffee. We've also got Ferguson over here, Bob Ferguson, engineer extraordinaire, helping me out this morning, too. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah?
Doing well,
great.
Yeah. Beautiful good. Day. Nice yeah. drive in this morning. No yeah. no trouble.
A nice Easter weekend. Yeah. Everyone's on spring break.
I was going to say, a lot of people listening. On spring break. A lot of people out of town this weekend.
Well, traffic was light, but it usually is when we're coming in the morning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, six. It's a little quiet out there. Yeah.
Well, why don't you guys tell everybody a little bit about how we started working together? This is have you guys kept track of your shows? How many times you've
you
been
know, in? I was trying to look back on it, but it's been a long time for me. I mean, we're 12, 14 years, something like
really?
That.
Really? Was it before I – have you? Were, did you
it's,
do it before I started
working?
It's
been a – well – Lou got me hooked up with Milt Rosenberg.
Okay.
To do a show with him. That's, I mean, it's been a long, long yeah. time. And had different, you know, co-workers here. But Jim and I, we work well together.
Yeah.
I got to say, we're very comfortable working together. We play off of each other very well. And our knowledge, our shared knowledge is very good. So, but yeah, it's been a long time.
More advanced than I am. So you guys are carrying me. Tell me a little bit about Creative Carpentry.
It's my company.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
it's we're a full service remodeling company out in the suburbs, and we're primarily now we've kind of evolved. We're almost 30 years in business, and we're primarily residential interior work now. Although we do some light commercial. We're doing a hair salon right now out in Woodridge and some other things. But it's comfortable, you know. You do it for that long. It's like, you know, doing Bob with the radio here. You can do it blind now. So
I do yeah. it blind.
Yeah. So, we just keep
and you're
pushing
like
along.
West Burbs, right?
Yeah, I'm based out of Bolingbrook.
Yeah.
We were originally in Aurora and then moved to Bolingbrook. But, kind of that area. So.
Nice. And then, Jim, you are with Tate Enterprises.
Yeah, with Tate Enterprises. I'm trying to think. It's probably been, I think I've been doing this for 4 years or so. I started out with, I met Lou first. My mother-in-law is a huge fan of the show, as well as a lot of people, obviously. But, we started out with, like, a phone interview, and then... we did two episodes of House Smarts with mm-hmm. Lou. So
oh, that's right.
Yeah, so we did it. We did a series where it was like a series where it was like should a homeowner try this or not? And we did two pieces. One of them was doing wainscoting on a wall, mm-hmm. and then the other one was doing crown molding.
I remember those.
Yeah, yeah. So
sounds like it'd be a good game show.
I think it was some of their most popular shows.
Do this or but
DIY.
It's the most downloaded show, I think. yeah, so I think that's been about 4 years, I think, that we started that. And then from there, I think Lindsay called me and asked if I would be interested in helping on the show when Lou's not here. So I've been glad to do it. But we're also a full-service remodeling company. We're a little further east. We're like Hinsdale, Clarendon Hills area. We're mostly interior remodelers. We do room additions as well, but kitchens, bathrooms, basements. My father-in-law started the company, I think, about 25 years ago. I've been doing this for 20 years, but we've been incorporated for 25. So, yeah, so it's great. We love it. I mean,
well,
yeah, it's fun.
That's awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining me this morning.
Great to be here.
All right. We are taking calls. We are taking texts. So please, you can do so at 312-981-7200. Right now we are going to take – actually, let me tell you about our hourly sponsors. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and CleanFireplace.com. We are going to take a break, and we will be back shortly.
Hi, it's Steve Cochran. Excuse me a second, I need to adjust the old tool belt. You're listening to Lou Manfredini in the Mr. Fix-It program on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Thanks, Steve. It's not Lou this morning. It is Lindsay Smithwick, Lou's producer, in for Lou. Lou is taking the weekend with his family to celebrate the Easter weekend. A little spring break action going on. 7:21 a.m. in the morning, I'm joined with my fellow experts, Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan. We're going to answer your questions or attempt to for the next 2.5 hours. Should we take our first call?
Yeah, okay. Let's try one.
We are going to go over to Steve in Chicago. Steve, how are you?
Great, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in this morning. What's going on?
All right, I'll try to describe this. I had a garage installed about 20 years ago, a big slab, and right down the middle is an expansion seam runs from the center of the front door to the back wall. Along the back wall, this puddle keeps reaccumulating. Started last fall, I've wiped it up and it reaccumulates, just slowly spreading, sort of like an egg white on a frying pan. I looked at the back of the yard by the wall. There's no water there, and I have no idea where it's coming from. The water from my irrigation system is turned off, and it's not confluent with the back wall. I think it's coming through the seam that the expansion seam they put in the center of the big slab, and it's a for real water source. I mean, it's not condensation. It doesn't correlate with rainfall. And it keeps reaccumulating. It's not a huge flow. I wipe it up and the puddle comes back. What do you think's going on?
It's not coming from your vehicle, is it?
No. Okay. This is flush to the wall, away from the vehicles. It's not confluent with the back wall. It's like not coming in from the outside over the slab.
All right.
Up from ground.
How about do you have a basement in the house?
Yeah, it's 30 feet away.
Okay, do you have a sump pump there?
No sump pump.
Okay, it just goes into the city sewer kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is in the back by the alley.
Because the only thing I can think of is, or one of the things, is that maybe your water table is just very high in that area, meaning that the water in the ground may be very close to that slab, and any time the water changes, that water table just seeps up a little bit. It may show up in your garage. It depends on the lay of the land. The only other thing is if there's any kind of water source, like plumbing, that's above in the walls or anything like that in the area.
Am I going to wake up someday with a sinkhole in my garage falling in?
When you were explaining this, I had like a Green Acres thing going through my head. Like too bad it's not oil. Like, you know, like, isn't that how Green Acres, like,
just crude.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I mean, are you thinking that it's coming specifically from that expansion joint, or do you think it's wicking up through the concrete and forming a puddle? Like, can you see a path?
It splotches across the expansion joint and then heads to the side of one of the slabs.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I agree with Mike. I think that it does sound like they call it hydraulic pressure, and you'll see it in basements happen too, where like Mike was explaining, the water table, if the ground's really wet, it starts to come in through open areas of the concrete. You could try, if you think it's coming from the expansion joint, you could try, they make an epoxy that that you can get, I think they sell it at the big box stores, but they make an epoxy that typically is used like around a pool area where they're sealing up concrete joints from water from pools going in there. It's made specifically for that. It comes in a caulk gun, and it goes in kind of like a liquid. But that would seal that expansion joint, and that might help at least stop the water from having an easy path to get there. I won't say that it's going to stop the water from coming through the concrete altogether, but it might stop the process of it actually coming through the expansion joint.
Two questions. Can this water come right through the concrete itself?
It can they call it wicking, but yes, it can wick up through the concrete. It has a little bit harder time because it's not an open, you know, water. They always say water seeks its own level. So if there's something stopping it and not giving it access to come through, it will slow the process down. So again, it depends on how much pressure there actually is under there. But the expansion joint is a great, easy place for water to push up through.
Should I caulk the whole joint or just the area where the leak is?
I would caulk the whole joint. The way that epoxy goes in, it's almost like syrup. It'll come out of the caulk gun like syrup. So it also is going to be kind of like a self-leveling epoxy. So unless you have a way to kind of provide two like dams, it's going to want to fill the entire joint. So you're best off letting it do that.
What do I, if I can go to a big box store and actually find a guy to help me, what do I describe this as? A cement epoxy or?
Yeah, it's specifically made for just what you're describing. It's specifically made for filling expansion joints or cracks in concrete or things like that. There's a place, I did it on my patio. There's a place, I think it's in Lamont, called the Concrete Clinic. That's where I bought mine. And like I said, I know they sell it, and I'm pretty sure I've seen it at the big box stores.
Okay. Thanks. Love you, Lindsay. Bye-bye.
Hey, Steve, for being our first caller, hold on the line because Bennett's going to get your information. We're going to give you an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Thank God you guys are here.
That one was easy. You could have got
expansion.
You could have done that. Yeah, that's no problem.
All right, so we are going to take another break here and be back shortly.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Come on, wake up. The weekend is here. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
But I feel better when I'm dancing. Yeah, yeah.
Except you're not listening to Lou. It's me, more Lindsay. Lindsay Smithwick, Lou's producer, in for Lou this morning. Lou is off, taking some time with his family on this holiday weekend. But I'm not alone. I'm joined by Jim Sullivan and Mike Holmes here to help me answer some questions from you. Any home improvement questions you may have, feel free to give us a call at 312-981-7200. We're also taking texts. We actually have a few texts coming in. You guys want to give it a shot?
Yeah.
All right. My mother, who is 83, needs a simple and safe way to keep her drains clean. Her house is old and doesn't like using harsh chemicals. What do you think? I actually have some tips. I can on this one.
let go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Me? Okay. Yes. Well, 312, whatever. That's his area code. I don't know what his name is. But I know that Lou always suggests Robic as a antimicrobial, is that how you say it? And InstaFlow chips. Now, I know those are chemicals, so if you guys have any suggestions that are not, feel free to answer. But I know what Lou would suggest.
You know, I was really hoping for a bug question.
Oh, I know. You guys are good with the bug questions. We always seem to get a ton of bug questions. If you have any bug questions, feel free to give us a call, too.
Okay, so my thing is, you know, when you are a contractor, you never do things the easy way. I don't know. Mike can probably attest to this. So
30 years of doing it.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So for me personally, I just had this. We had a slow bathtub drain upstairs, and I have a 15-year-old daughter who's a big fan of Pinterest. And yeah, so constantly she's got some kind of crazy chemical that she's created to clean
coconut
her skin.
Oil.
Yeah, clean her skin. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 2 weeks ago I went into the bathroom after she was in there, and there was a bowl of coffee grounds laying on the edge of the tub. And I'm like, you know, what are you like trying to dye your skin a different color? You know, like what? My coffee grounds. So anyway, shortly after that, believe it or not, the drain was clogged. Imagine that. Hmm. But at any rate, I used just the old fashioned like hand rotter, take the drain apart a little bit and rod the drain and pull all the fun stuff that's in there.
Is a hand rotter one of those little like snakes? Is that
The one I use. It's again, you don't have to, usually like a bathtub, for example, even a sink. You don't have to go very far. Usually, it's right around the trap area where stuff tends to collect,
or right at the stopper itself in a bathroom sink, because components that make the stopper go up and down, the hair starts catching on that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Lou also has advertises that cat. Mm-hmm.
They're out of business.
Okay.
But
something like that works well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same concept. Yeah.
Something to get in there. If you have any knowledge on how to work the stoppers, you can actually just go underneath the sink and with your hands unscrew the components and pull that stopper out and clean it all and then put it back together. Mm. It's not real complicated, but you do have to get under the sink.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if I could do that.
You know, chemicals, you know, there's certain things you just have to have chemicals for.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing it manually like that. But even that, you get in kitchen sinks, you'll get grease buildup from cooking and stuff like that. And the snake doesn't take all the grease out, you know, and that all catches things.
What does Mike do?
What do I do?
Yeah, what does Mike do in Mike's house?
I don't do anything. I just let it. No.
Have a good plumber.
I always take the trap out and I just clean it.
Yeah.
And
now, so you do it manually.
Yeah. I'm not big on the chemicals either. Yeah. If I don't have to, but our business is chemicals.
You know, or you can do what we did a couple weeks ago and call PermaSeal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think the again, I'm not a chemist, so I'm not 100% sure. You know, the chemical side. What I worry about is, and again, this is why I hate answering some general questions like that, is because drains can be made up of many different things. One of the towns I work in, drains used to be required to be in copper.
Yep.
I've worked in plenty of homes where all the drains, you know, in an older home, all the drains are made of galvanized steel. And then I've newer homes, obviously it's all PVC. So each one of those is going to react differently to chemicals that you're putting in there. And so I always, you know, not knowing what, you know, each particular person's house is, how it was made. I'm always nervous about recommending chemicals to go in there because you just don't know how that's going to react to what's in there.
The biggest thing is when you're putting stuff down the drain, after you're all done, kitchen or bathroom, if you're doing chemicals in the bathroom or you're doing cooking in the kitchen, when you're all done, run hot water down the drain for a couple minutes.
Flush it out.
That heat will soften everything and it helps flow, get it flowing out of there. So that's the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, guys. All right, let's take another call. We've got Gary in Oak Park with a flooring question. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Yeah, I'm getting ready to put some bamboo flooring down in my living room.
Nice. Lou loves bamboo. I know that.
Right. And I need to find out how much extra I should order when I'm getting it.
Guys? That's a great question. It's actually a question that is debated often. So a lot of it depends on how it's sold, right? Because usually you have to buy it by the box. But typically the overage for waste is usually calculated somewhere between 15% and 20%. So if you need 100 square feet, if you want to be conservative, you would order 115 square feet plus whatever the next box size is. So if it's sold in 35 square feet, for example, and the next box size up, you got to go to 140, then that's what you have to get as opposed to, 105. But again, it kind of depends. Like if we're doing a backsplash, I go 20%, and I know that's tile, but again, you've got a lot more cuts and things like that. So it kind of depends on what you're doing. So anywhere between 15 and 20%.
Yeah, if you have
it's an L-shaped room is what it is.
Yeah. And that's what he was talking about. If you have just a square room where you're not going to have a lot of waste, that's one thing. If you got a lot of openings or closet, things like that, you start using it.
Well, it's an L-shaped room is what it is. You've got a wall, then it goes in, then another wall that comes out, and the rest of it is all open.
Yeah. But that's pretty accurate. And you also want to make sure you always have some extra just in case if some of it gets damaged, you can replace it.
So many places, too, you can return it if you have a full box that's not a special order item.
Well, I'm going to get the one that Lou likes, Tigrin or
Terragrin.
Yeah, Terragrin. Do you happen to have installers in the area that you recommend for that product?
That I do not know. Do you guys?
And what area? Where is he at? Where are you located?
He's in Oak Park.
Oak Park. We can always say, you know, go to the neri.org and you can find contractors or maybe somebody in that area that would work for you. Jim and I, we don't go there.
No.
All right, Gary, thanks so much for calling in. It's just about time to take a break. Coming up, it's our new Tolu 2, a spin on your pasta. This is actually a segment that I usually record and put together, but this time I put Lou to work. Before we go over to our new Tolu 2 segment, I want to tell you about the Matt Olson fundraiser. The Minnesota Wild and Chicago Blackhawks have united in support of Matt Olson, the Minnesota native who sustained a severe spinal cord injury last month playing junior hockey for the Chicago Cougars. Both the Wild and the Blackhawks have donated several one-of-a-kind experiences, including rare opportunities like traveling on their respective team planes to a road game and being a player for the day. You can find a link to get you to the right place to bid on the auction at WGNradio.com/events. Auction bids are accepted through noon on Wednesday, March 30th. Go to WGNradio.com/events to find out how you can bid on the auction and donate to Matt Olson's GoFundMe page. Very nice. All right, so it is time for a new Tolu 2. My trusty sidekick, Lou Manfredini, actually recorded this for us. It's called, well, I'm not going to tell you. We're just going to play it. Ready? Hit it.
A lot of people have been caught up in the new trend of making their own pasta, and there's lots of machines on the market to help with this. But you know what they say, a moment on the lips and a lifetime on those hips. I can only eat so much pasta before my walk turns into a waddle. But hey, I'm Italian. I need my pasta. But what about the idea of making pasta from veggies?
Oh my.
Well, at the Home and Houseware show a couple of weeks ago, I came across a bunch of these devices, but man, they're so big. Who has that much room on their countertops for a machine that only makes veggie spaghetti? Well, our Tolu 2 this weekend is the Veggetti. Or do you say Veggetti?
Mamma mia.
The Veggetti is a handheld device that requires no batteries or plug-ins and will fit easily in a drawer in your kitchen. Just a simple grater that turns your vegetables into healthy string noodles. So your zucchini becomes zoodles. Your cucumbers become koodles. Your sweet potatoes become swoodles. Or even your peaches, well, they become poodles, I think. I think it's more fun making up the names than actually eating them.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, this is an as-seen-on-TV product that Lindsay has put to the test and gives it an A. And the best part is, it's only $8. You can find them at Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, and on their website, buyveggetti.com. I say Veggetti.
Mamma mia.
As usual, I'll put all this information up on my Mr. Fix-It page on WGNradio.com, on my Facebook page, and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's Tolu 2. Veggetti!
I don't know. I've heard better. What do you guys think? He just doesn't have that ick factor, you know?
I just want to point out that before we went into that segment, you were referring to him as your sidekick.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I know. Watch out, Lou.
I will say, though, I use that product, and it's awesome.
I know. So a friend of mine texted me one day and was like, oh, we're making zoodles tonight for dinner. I'm like, what the heck is a zoodle?
Zoodle. Yeah.
So she sent me a link, and of course, I bought it on the spot. And it came. It looks like you said, it looks kind of like a like a funnel.
Like an hourglass.
That's right. Yeah. And there's two different sides with different sized graters, and you just stick whatever you're zoodling, whether it's a zucchini, whether it's squash, or cucumbers.
We'll
and it's like a healthy
this.
Spin on pasta.
LA, my lovely wife, mm-hmm. she's low carb, so we don't do the noodles. But we'll take this and we'll do zucchini, and we'll saute it in a pan for a little bit, and then throw a bunch of other veggies and some chicken in it. It's awesome.
It's $8.
Yep.
It is pretty cool. If I were to describe this, because I know this is radio, if I were to describe this to somebody, it is literally a vegetable sharpener.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sharpening a pencil.
It's like a pencil right. sharpener, but it's Lindsay brought one in, so I could see it working here. It is a zucchini sharpener in this application, and the shavings are noodles.
I do think that they might need to change the name of it.
Yeah. It almost sounds like a sports car or maybe something else. Yes.
That I kept wanting to press the panic button for. We'll leave it at that. That's this week's New Duluth to the Bajetti. I'm going to put the information. I'm sorry. My producer, Lou. No. I'll put the information up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page at WGNradio.com, on Facebook, and VibeScore, of course, John Williams' iPhone app. Download the free app on your iPhone.
And now we have some zucchini for breakfast.
Feel free to dig in and taste test. Let's take another call. We have Mary in Orland Park. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm calling in with a real simple drain opener. Not an opener, but it keeps it clean.
Oh,
so
good.
It
go ahead.
Okay, just push down baking soda into your drain and follow it with vinegar. You'll hear it bubbling down in there, and then flush it with hot water. If you keep that going, like once a month, usually your drains don't clog.
Isn't that what we used to do in school to make the volcanoes? Didn't we put same combination together, and it fizzes up, right?
Yeah, it does. It fizzes, and it removes the grease and stuff.
Okay, nice. Okay, I can't tell you why, but I don't think that Lou recommends vinegar.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. Mary, well, don't ask me anything else. I can't answer
I will
that, but
say,
I will.
L.A., again, she's texting. She couldn't be here today, so she was texting. And she made a comment about this caller or texter that came in. Your mother's 83 years old. Be a good son and just hire a plumber.
Right. That is true. That's true. Thanks, Mary, for the tip. Let's take one more before we have to take a quick break. This is Ben in Northbrook. Hi, Ben.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
Morning.
Terrific. It's a great day.
It really is.
I have a couple of quick questions about flooring. We have carpeting. We want to put down a hardwood floor. Our contractor tells us we have concrete under the carpeting, and that you can't put down, or it's very difficult to put down a hardwood floor on concrete. He'd have to pull up the concrete and go get down to the plywood to put it down. Is that our problem?
It sounds like it's a mortar bed that you're talking about. Is that correct?
There's concrete that we have a plywood floor over the basement, and then they poured concrete apparently over the plywood floor. And if we pull up the carpeting, we have concrete there, and we're told we can't put hardwood floor on the concrete.
You can do it. There's just different systems, but I've never heard of somebody doing the plywood with the concrete in a basement.
Right.
Not in a basement. It's on the first floor.
Are you saying in the basement or on the first floor?
No, on our first floor.
Oh, okay.
There's a typical plywood floor, and then they poured concrete over it, apparently, and then put carpeting on top of the concrete.
Yeah, there may have been tile at one point then. Usually it's a mortar bed situation.
Oh, okay. So there might have been tile. Okay. But
sometimes
there's a living room.
Yeah. So do you have hardwood floor elsewhere in the house?
Not that we know of. The whole house is carpeted,
okay.
Except where we have tile, except in the entryway in the kitchen and stuff where there's tile.
So in some villages, there's and I've run into this before, and I think I know what you're trying to describe. But in some villages, they have minimum floor thicknesses for fire code. And so what they'll do is they'll put, the contractor will put down 3/4 inch plywood, for example, and then he'll put an inch of floor leveler, like GIF set, over that to meet the minimum floor.
I think that's right.
Yeah. And so I don't know that that has to be removed. I guess it depends on what the condition of it is. If it's structurally sound, meaning that it's not cracking and it's not coming up, I don't really know that it needs to be pulled. I'm not sure. I feel like he would have to make an evaluation on the condition of it. If it's in good shape, I think it could stay. But I also don't think
hardwood floor over it. It would adhere.
It's a little complicated. It's a little complicated because unless the hardwood floor is getting glued down, which if it's real hardwood, usually it's not glued down. Usually it's stapled down.
That's what he said. He said it has a staple gun and it won't go into the concrete.
And that's absolutely true. But he could put a layer of plywood over it. Now we're starting to get really high though on our floor.
Then we have a threshold. You need a step ladder to get over the threshold.
But even
you got it.
Even keeping the concrete and going to a true hardwood floor being 3/4 to 1 inch thick, you're going to have a issue with elevation.
Yeah.
So you may want to go to a engineered hardwood floor.
We talked about an engineered floor,
and
right.
then that one you could glue down to the carpet and be fine, or to the concrete and be fine.
Concrete.
Yeah.
Do we need a vapor barrier between the concrete and the flooring?
Not on a first floor application like that.
If you remove the gypsum, you don't. If it stays, because I would be worried about moisture wicking up. I know it's a basement below, but
there's wood also.
Right.
It wouldn't hurt to seal it, but I don't think you would necessarily need to. But you know, if you want to play it safe, go ahead and seal it. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, when we do, I've got a job coming up actually where it's a split level, and so it's a slab, and we're adding hardwood to it. And so there's nothing else underneath. So when you had said remove the concrete, we all kind of looked at Mike and I looked at each other like what? Like, but at any rate, in that application where we're starting is we put 1/2-inch plywood down first. Vapor barrier and then hardwood on top of it. But the point is that we're adding 1.25 inches of height in this particular house. You know, the split level joins up to another room, so the height isn't a huge problem for us.
Well, you have to be careful of the staircases.
Right.
So, you're changing elevations.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Ben, so much. Time to take a break, and news is coming up. We'll be right back.
Living for tomorrow, lost within a dream.
Good morning.
Trying to find the answer.
Lindsay Smithwick in for Lou Manfredini this morning. Normally, I am behind the producer booth, producing Lou's show, steering the ship. But today, for some reason, they gave me the reins, and I am running the show.
Doing an awesome job.
From the microphone, which is crazy to me. Crazy, crazy. I want to tell you about something that Lou's got his hands in again, of course. As you, most of you know, Lou has a big part, and his whole family has a big part in Misericordia. And coming up April 29th and April 30th is their annual Candy Days fundraiser, where I'm sure you see all the people out on the streets collecting money. And then in return for whatever donation you can give, they give you little bags of Jelly Bellies. But he is getting a jump start on this fundraiser, and he's created a virtual candy jar online. Our goal is to raise $5,000, so I know we can do this. The greatest news is Townstone Financial is also matching that $5,000 donation. You can donate at WGNradio.com/events. You can find out more information there. Misericordia, for those of you who don't know, is a nonprofit that homes 600 children and adults with developmental disabilities. It's an amazing, truly amazing organization, and I'm happy to know Lou, who plays such a big role in their donations, or in their fundraising. I'm sorry. Let's see. So far, we are at $590. We started promoting this last week, so that's great. Big thanks to Carrie and David Chenoir, Grandma Smiley, the Watercott family, amongst other people that have donated. So please check out WGNradio.com/events to help us raise our goal. Okay, back to home improvement. I'm joined here by some experts because I couldn't answer any home improvement questions if I had a gun to my head, even though I produced the show. You know, I've worked on the show for 9 years,
wow,
which is crazy. And you would think I would know a lot more, but...
So you started this when you were 12.
I was thinking
okay.
the exact same yeah. thing.
You clearly listened to Lou because he would have said the same thing. But, yeah, it's hard back there in the producer studio. I'm constantly on the phone. I'm, you know, taking calls, checking things that Lou wants me to look up. So I don't hear as much of the answers as he actually gives. There should be things that I probably know that I don't. So luckily, I have two experts that are sitting in with me. Jim Sullivan with Tate Enterprises, Mike Holmes with Creative Carpentry. They've joined us before on this show when Lou's been out of town. They're terrific, and they are my safety net here. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Good morning.
She builds us up, doesn't she?
I know, I know.
I feel obligated to be really good.
You are. You're great. Okay, so I'm thinking that we can take some texts now. Are you ready?
We're always ready.
Okay, good. We've got a 219. I have a window glass that has some mineral-like stains from water dripping on it. What do you suggest to remove those stains? Oh, I think I know this one.
Oh, well, I always like to see, you think you have this one, Lindsay?
I think I might.
Yeah, let's let her go
first. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tough guy, come on.
Okay, so I think that he would suggest mixing.
It's one of the cool things about home improvement is there is not one way to do anything, right? So I always like to hear someone else's perspective. That's why I like working with Mike. He always has a different answer than I do. Go ahead.
Mike's right, though.
Okay, so I would think that Lou would say, fill a bucket 50-50 with water and CLR. Hmm. Warm water and CLR.
I don't know if I'd do a whole bucket worth, but...
Whatever.
You know, congratulations, because I was thinking the same thing, because you want to be careful. You don't want to etch the glass with anything.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Some chemicals, you can etch the glass. So that would be the first thing I would try. So very well done.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's probably right.
Thank you very much.
It's probably either calcium, lime, or rust that's on your window. Mm-hmm. We'll go with that.
See, she says she doesn't listen to the show.
I know. Well, I mean, there's some things that I've picked up, but...
I'll take windows for 200, please.
All right. Let's see what else we have here. 608, can you put bamboo flooring in a dry basement floor? We would be built up so that there would be an airspace underneath. That one I could not.
So anytime you try and put wood flooring over concrete, true concrete in a basement or on a split level slab or in your garage or wherever, the problem with concrete is that it always wicks moisture. The answer is yes, you can, but not directly on the concrete. If you remember earlier, there was talk about a moisture barrier. So there always needs to be some sort of vapor barrier, even if you're not adhering the bamboo or your wood flooring directly to the floor. There still has to be some sort of vapor lock between the hardwood and the concrete. If not, what will happen over time is the boards will actually cup, because the wood will actually absorb the moisture, and then what the wood wants to do is it wants to swell and lift up on the edges. So you always have to have some sort of vapor barrier.
Basically, think of the concrete as a giant hard sponge. Mm-hmm. You know, it will take water and bring it up. But I think in the text it said that they were having it spaced off of the concrete, which is good. But yeah, you want to seal that concrete vapor barrier or something. But yeah, and I would think out of all the materials, the bamboo would probably be the most durable to use down there. So
all right, I would have said that same thing. I would have agreed with you.
I was reading your mind. We were channeling through this.
All right, let's take another one. We are taking calls, too, 312-981-7200. Of course, you can text us there as well. We're going through some texts. We've got one from Drew in Mundelein with a patio question. He is installing a new patio. Are concrete slabs better than patio squares? Think about 16-inch squares. Just wondering if squares would be easier to fix or replace long-term.
That's a debated question also. Concrete versus pavers is the question. Yes, pavers are repairable if something happens to them. Concrete, you have to take out the entire slab or section or whatever. So I personally like a paver. What is your take, Mike? What do you?
I'm a paver guy, too. I like the look of it. I like that... you have drainage abilities on it. If you have a concrete slabs are awesome if they're done well. It's a nice, smooth, flat surface, so when you have your table out there, you're not rocking, things like that. But if it shifts or cracks, then it's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And if you have pavers, you can do the repair, and a lot of times homeowners can do the repair themselves. So
God, you guys are reading my mind. It's crazy. I was going to say pavers too.
It's just different. It's different applications. You know, it's like, do you want a hardwood floor or a tile floor? They're two different products. They both have their pluses and minuses. But I like the look of the pavers. I think it's a little less harsh than concrete. And it kind of goes from the home to the outdoors kind of seamlessly. So aesthetically, I like it better.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. We are going to take a quick break now. We're taking more calls, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show. He's always got lots to talk about and lots of questions to answer. So give us a call, 312-981-7200, on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. I've been driving all night, my hands
wet on the wheel. There's a lot of Lindsay on this station right now. I should have had Lou record.
You have too much Lindsay.
I should have had Lou record some rejoins for me. Yikes. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, by Rogers Roofing, and Fox Home Center. I'm Lindsay Smithwick, regularly Lou's producer, in for Lou Manfredini this morning. Lou is taking the weekend off, spending some time with his family over the Easter weekend. Our producer, Bennett, just went across the
line.
And lovely and handsome.
I'm a man of many traits.
Just went over and got us some coffee. I felt really weird sending him across to get coffee.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, that's like I didn't want to. I don't
know. He did a great job.
He did wonderful, but it's like,
it's not my first time.
So.
Well, I mean, I do it every weekend for Lou, but I felt really weird like sending somebody else over there to get coffee for us.
It's funny to see somebody else do your job, isn't it?
I know. I don't like it.
Was that up to your standards, Lindsay?
It's a little cold.
Ah, you know what?
And there's a little too much foam in here, but
next
that's
week,
fine.
She's just complaining because she's worried about her job security.
Aren't we all?
And I'm so nervous about my coffee over here. So Apple products love me this week. I have two little girls at home, a three-year-old and an eight-month-old. And surprisingly, the eight-month-old was the one that really had it in for me this week. On last Sunday, I had my she had my iPhone. You know, kids love the iPhones and iPads, and she was totally fascinated with it. And I had a bottle of water next to her, and somehow, who knew an 8-month-old could open a bottle of water? But somehow she did. It must not have been on the whole or on the fully, but I came back and my phone was drenched, which stunk. So I let it dry out. Of course, I put it in oatmeal instead of rice because we didn't have any rice. And don't ever do that.
How did that taste?
It didn't work because then all the little oatmeal gets stuck up in the holes, and I couldn't even.
Lou recommends rice.
Yes.
Thanks. Where was
you last week? We don't do carbs, so we do zucchini. Oh, yeah.
So I don't think that would ever work either. So I had to ruin Apple and get the whole phone. Luckily, I had AppleCare on that, which that's always a great investment.
Nice.
I highly suggest that to everybody. But I did not have AppleCare on my MacBook. And then Wednesday, Lou had a Facebook chat on Wednesday night. So here I am at 6:30. I'm trying to feed the kids. I've got the computer on the kitchen table. I'm, you know, trying to get this Facebook chat up and going for Lou. And naturally, I'm drinking a glass of wine, which I put next to my computer. And Sydney, the 8-month-old, is reaching now, of course. I guess I just didn't put two and two together. And the next thing I know, my whole glass of wine is on the keyboard.
So, I remember
when that happens. That's a waste of good wine.
I remember my kids.
I tell ya.
I remember my kids were young like that. I used to, it was like, now they're much older. My youngest is 8, but I remember, you know, as they were going through those milestone steps, it was like, you know, the first time you see it, it's like, yay, look, they can walk, they can move, they can crawl. And then it's like, oh no, they can walk, they can move, they can crawl. Like, we got to do everything different now.
Yeah, it didn't quite click with me just yet. So Thursday morning, I'm walking back into Apple. Robert's like, you were just here. Yeah. I got you your new iPhone. Don't tell me you messed that up. Nope, now it's my MacBook. Oh, my God.
That can be an entire show in and of itself, just fixing kid problems.
Seriously, mm-hmm. Kathy and Judy should have a show like that.
When it comes to electronics, LA and I want to just adopt an 18-year-old so he can fix everything. Mm. Because when it comes to that stuff, we're dead. One. You know, that whole era passed us. You know, when we were in school, there was no computers. Mm-hmm. You know, now they all have their own computers.
Yeah, it's good for the home repair business as well. Those kids, they keep us employed as well.
That's true.
Not just the electronics, yeah. But they do fun things to homes as well. It's fun.
I know. Since we moved into our house, I mean, I have contractors and painters on speed dial because I'm constantly, you know, we've got nicks and we've broke this or that, and it's
just
wait
remember
till they drive. We had a client whose kid got their permit, not their. They went out for dinner one night, and the kid, I'm going to take the car out, and drove it back into the garage into the family room. So
wow,
yeah, it was some nice work for us.
Yeah,
they grow up fast, don't they?
Yeah, my advice, Lindsay, is I always tell my client after we finish a remodeling project and they have kids, remember, it's a house, not a museum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's kid friendly.
It's a good tip. All right, this is the Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's take a call. Who do we have for her? Let's take Mary in Princeton. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call. Lindsay, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah. Well, listen, my situation, and I sincerely appreciate your help. I'm in a house that's about 90 years old. I'm replacing a water heater. It's a 40-gallon. I live in the house by myself. My decision is between gas, which I have right now, or electric. The gas is venting into an old cook stove chimney that's going to need to be retuck-pointed for about $1,000. So my question is, what would your opinion be, gas versus electric, and should I be replacing the old galvanized piping as well?
Well, I personally would go with gas. The you're going to get a much higher BTU rating. BTU essentially is how much heat it can create, is what BTU kind of stands for. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a much higher BTU rate out of a gas fixture than you will an electric unit, just because the heating coil on electric can't get to the BTUs that gas can provide. But I have a suggestion for you, and I'm not sure if it's already been brought up, but has anybody talked to you about doing a high-efficiency, fast-recovery 40-gallon hot water heater instead of going through the chimney, just ducted out the side of the house?
The water heater is it's about 12 feet away from maybe closer to 15 feet away from the outside wall. So I didn't think of it because of that. I always thought, too, that was a lot more expensive process. And is that the on-demand?
No.
Fast recovery. So a fast recovery hot water heater essentially has a blower on the top of a standard hot water heater.
Where that vent comes out the top.
Yeah. So instead of it going out gravity, they call it. You know, heat rises, mm-hmm. so they call that a gravity unit. That's probably what you have now. This actually has a blower that does two things. It cools the exhaust of the gas, and then it also allows it then to blow through PVC and go out the side of a house. And so, again, it depends on the application, but it may be altogether, it may be a good option for you, especially if in order to get a new hot water heater, you have to have your chimney lined and you've got that expense. It may be less expensive mm-hmm. and a better system for you altogether to go with a fast recovery hot water heater.
Yeah, you'll get better heating out of it. I would keep the gas because you already have the gas, mm-hmm. so you don't have to worry about getting electric brought into it. And the efficiency is much better. So I would totally agree. I would keep with the gas and see if you can get into that type of water heater. And then, again, I don't know if you need to do the chimney or not. If it was just because of that application that you're venting your water heater through there, you may not even mm-hmm. have to deal with that situation.
Yeah, I'd probably just take the chimney down then.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Or close it off, right?
Yeah, and what about replacing galvanized? I mean, the piping that's there is, you know, there since the house was built.
Yeah, my last home was about the same age, and I had looked into, you know, I was redoing some of the plumbing, obviously, because I can't leave my hands off of things. I took out some of those pipes, and where, you know, I had a 3/4 galvanized pipe, you could barely get a pencil through it because there was so much sediment in there and, you know, just buildup. So anytime you can remove that, I recommend it. You know, you may only be able to do sections at a time without having to tear walls down. But if you have an open basement and it gives you the ability to run, you know, 10, 20 feet worth, redoing it, it certainly will help.
Mary, we actually just had our house, all the piping, all the
Oh, you're helping out again, are you?
I know.
Okay, here we go.
Let me jump in. I got this.
Okay.
We just had our whole, all of our pipes, our galvanized piping taken out when we moved in. So I've got a great company for you if you decide to do it. Can I give you their information?
Okay,
it's Repipe Specialists.
All right.
And it's 800-REPIPING is their phone number.
That's easy to remember. Thank you so much.
Mary, thank you so much. You hang on the line. Say nice things to me, and you're going to get something. Let's give Mary a
Lumel.
We
do all the time, and we get nothing. We get nothing but headaches.
You got coffee. Mary's going to get a Lumel Nutty's gift certificate. Home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at lumelnutty's.com. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Mike Steven, and now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show. And by the way, if the show started late, it's probably my fault. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. There ain't nothing wrong
with this old house. It just needs a Thanks, Mike. Although you can't be late to this show. This is my show. Lindsay Smithwick in for Lou Manfredini this morning. It is 8:38 here on Chicago's very own. I am joined by two experts from NARI, Jim Sullivan and Mike Holmes. Mike, who's actually gotten us our interview lined up for this morning, right? So you're going to lead this, right?
I'm trying.
Great.
This is my debut, right?
This is your big debut. So we are on the phone line. We have Joe LeBan, who is the owner of Pine Ridge Carving and Choice Cabinet Chicago. Hi, Joe. How are you? Joe.
You there? Trying to find him.
Oops. Did I do that?
He's actually got two companies that are now merging, so that's why we got the two names.
Da-da-da-da.
You there,
Hi, Joe?
Joe.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
That was my fault.
What happened there? I was cut off.
It was just a minor slip. Don't worry. Pay no attention.
A well-oiled machine.
Yes, yes. But
all right, no problem.
There's a lot of buttons here. Yeah.
Joe's got a kind of unique situation. He's just acquired a cabinet company where you can purchase pre-manufactured cabinets, semi-custom and custom kind of cabinetry. And the part that makes him kind of unique is women can probably relate a little better. If you go and you buy a dress, you want to personalize it with shoes and jewelry, or, you know, you got a Harley and you want to personalize it with some chrome. Joe can do this with the cabinets. You can take a pre-manufactured cabinet up to a custom cabinet, and he can add components that can personalize it to your liking and make it individual to you. And Joe, you want to tell us a little bit about what you do with this carving?
Well, yeah, great. Thanks for having me on the air. First of all, what we can do is we can take any parts of the cabinet and, you know, put any kind of carving or detailing, you know, on the doors or fillers or valances or over the hood, things like that. So it's something new. I've been doing this for a while in the church industry, and I'm trying to merge the two companies together, and I want to bring it into the kitchen cabinet business. And we've done some feelers out there, and we've had some great response to it. And people love it. They can put their own little signature on their own cabinets, and it's really becoming I'm quite excited about it, actually.
You know, this is not just like for kitchen cabinets either. You can go into bars or wine cellars. I've seen the work that this that he does with some of these things. It's awesome. You can have a cabinet door, and you don't have to do like your whole kitchen or all the cabinets. You could do one cabinet, and he can actually relief cut into the door or other components. You know, grape clusters if you're a wine cellar, or if you have a range hood that's got a wood valance around it, and you could actually put family name or some saying into it. Virtually anything you can draw, he can put into the computer and cut this.
I love the idea of a monogram. I think that's a really
cool. I was thinking you could do family crest, yeah. Things like that. You could do some really awesome things with it. And it's basically all done with a computerized system, correct?
Correct, yeah. I usually make the model. It's a 3D model. And if you go to my website, there we have examples of models that you could, you know, take off. And there's like thousands of pictures and ideas that you can get. And I have those models, or I purchase them for, you know, a few bucks, and then I merge them into your project, however you want to do it.
Now,
and
you can also really do custom, correct? It doesn't have to just be off of that list.
Right, yeah. A lot of people just come to me with a magazine article or something, and I kind of stretch and pull the idea to what fits their project. So it's really not that difficult.
So now you can actually have these cabinets, and let me even rephrase that, not just cabinets. You could do doors, like your front door. You can do other components,
absolutely.
And not just wood, correct?
I've been experimenting around with some, you know, plastics, like acrylics. I know my machine could handle that, so, you know, it would be kind of a new area for me, but I know... It's just a matter of getting the right setups and the right speeds and feeds and everything. But, yeah, it would be no problem. You could do that.
So you can take these average cabinets or, you know, depending on the grade that you're going, but take a basic cabinet that everybody can purchase, and then Joe can add these components and make it personal to you. And I think it's an awesome idea, and it can bring your kitchen to a whole new level without the cost of going complete custom where they build everything personally to you.
So, Correct.
How long does it take to do this, you know, to create these?
I guess it depends on, you know, how in-depth the modeling is and how many parts there are. But usually, you know, if you did like a two by two door, it would probably take a couple hours on the machine.
Okay.
And... you know, it all depends, and then there's a little cleanup work, and then you got to refinish it and things like that. But I'd say about machine time, about 2 hours to do, and some are even less. You know, if it's like a 2D type of file or something, it could be like 5 minutes.
Okay, what's the difference between the 2D and 3D? On a board?
2D is more or less you're just kind of sketching into the wood with like a sharp point. Okay, and it's only one bit, and it goes up and down and everything. 3D is you're actually, I would say, sculpting a shape into the wood. So that one takes a little longer. It's a little bit more expensive, but you really do, you know, you get some really great effects out of it.
Well, you get the shadowing and everything from that then.
Correct, okay. Yeah. And a lot of people will kind of glaze over it to make it stand out a little bit, but... it really does highlight the cabinets, and it really makes your cabinet, you know, your kitchen or whatever your project, really stand out. It really doesn't. It's just not a bunch of boxes anymore.
Okay. So now you're talking about like a 2-foot by 2-foot door. Let's say you're going to do a 3D. Roughly, what kind of price range are we looking at? I know it depends on the application, what you're putting in, but roughly, what are you going to be paying?
Yeah, I'd say a 2x2 door would be around, depending on the file and everything, probably about 60 to 70 bucks,
okay.
You know, to do.
So,
and, you know, that's just the machine time. And then, you know, depending on what the customer wants, sometimes they like it a little on the rough side, you know.
Oh, wait, now let's keep this a clean show.
I mean, I meant... Well, you know what?
We know what you meant.
Well, I put my foot in my mouth again, I think. And,
that's all right. We do it all the time. It's regular on the show.
Life.
Yes.
Yeah, I do it so often my shoes have flavors. You know? I mean, it's...
So now you can do this carving and then refinish the door, repaint the door to match the existing cabinetry that they purchased everything else with, correct?
Yeah, we can if the customer wants us to do that. Some people just take it and they do their own artwork in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can match paint and do the glazing and things like that, sure.
Okay. Hey, Joe, we actually have a text that came in asking if you can do the same thing on a wood picture frame. Can you add like a name or some lettering to it? I'm guessing that's pretty...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. No problem.
Good. Well, can you tell everybody how they can get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on Pine Ridge Carving, and my phone number is 630-393-0319. And we also have the showroom, you know, in Choice Cabinets. Feel free to stop by there and talk to me with your project. We have great kitchen cabinets and great prices and everything like that.
Great. Well, you sent us over some photos, which are beautiful. So I'm going to post a few of these online on Lou's Facebook page. I'll post, your information on how people can reach you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You have a great Easter weekend. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, this is Justin Kaufman. Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own WGN.
Thanks, Justin. Not Lou, though. It's Lindsay, Lou's producer. In for Lou Manfredini this morning. Lou is taking some time with his family for Easter. But I'm joined with Jim Sullivan and Mike Holmes. Hi, guys.
How are you doing?
Hello. What do you guys have planned for the Easter weekend? Anything fun and exciting?
I'm working on my house.
Oh, good.
Woo-hoo!
We, my wife and family, hosts the church brunch.
Nice.
Yeah, so she's at our church right now working with a team getting ready for that. We usually 60 to 80 people.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a production.
Does everyone bring something, or is she responsible for, like, all
She
of
does
it?
It with her family. So it's her mom and her sister.
Very nice.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a church. So when you volunteer to do it one year, you automatically do it every year. So mm-hmm. So I think this is the third or fourth year that she's done it. So
making me look bad.
She likes it. It's, you know, and it's nice. And it's nice to have at church, you know. It's nice to have a brunch
after
a big service
very
like
nice.
That. Yeah. So
Bennett, our producer. Yeah. Bennett, what are you doing?
I am heading back up to Wilmette. For a little family festivities, but
nice.
I think it's relatively big. I think we have 20 people right now is the total count.
I hear there's a church you can go to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get a brunch.
Brunch. Free brunch.
A few up there, but I think one might be in the front run right now.
We are looking forward. It's so fun with kids. Sadie, our three-year-old, she loved the Easter egg hunt last year. She was only two then, but we plan on doing a big thing tomorrow morning with all the eggs and the basket. I mean, I can't
trying
stop.
To find baskets.
Her basket is like bigger than you would think it's Christmas. I can't stop. I have a problem. Everything that I see, oh, she would love this. She's been a really good girl. She really deserves it.
She deserves that.
She was not the one that knocked the wine over. So
hers is much bigger than the 8-month-old.
There you go.
I was talking to Mike Stevens earlier, and he said that I think it was last year they did the egg hunt with their family, and they didn't make a list of everywhere that they placed the eggs.
Yeah,
you know, and
eggs
I remember we did the same thing last year. Luckily, we did find them, but he said that months went by, and all of a sudden, you know, they're smelling that stink.
I was going to say, if you have that problem, let me know. I'll bring Baxter over. He's one of my dogs. He can find any food for you. Not a problem. Within seconds. He's awesome. He's...
We have a dog, too. Actually, it's our dog's birthday today. Let me make a special announcement to Hamilton. He's 5. Happy birthday, buddy.
Do you want to sing?
Maybe.
We can sing.
Great, fine. Don't tempt me. All right, let's take a call. Home improvement. Back to that.
Oh, Dad.
That stuff. Let's talk to... Oh, here you go. Carl is in Huntley with a bug question. Hey, Carl.
A bug.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You called the right show. We always answer bug questions when
Bugs
Lou's on.
Bugs are us.
Yes, I heard that He wishes he had a bug question.
Me and my big mouth.
Enter Carl. Yeah. What's up?
Well, these guys are bugging me. These are little tiny pinhead size bugs in the bathroom. They crawl in the bathroom and they congregate in the tub. I think they come out of the drain.
You haven't been listening to the show, have you? Because almost every time we get a bug question, we get these bugs. You gotta tune in more often. Yeah,
I do tune in all the time, but I've never heard this.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll give you a freebie this time, but you got to pay attention.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Jim, you want to take this one?
I don't recall having this question before.
Oh, yes. Come. Now you're making me look bad.
It sounds like sewer flies.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
I don't have a solution, though, for sewer flies.
Yes. Basically, what you're getting is these flies, they congregate by the by the drains because of the trap, and you get the moisture in there. So we talked about you can put vinegar down there, will deter them. But
yeah, we've done all that.
Okay. Yeah, the thing is, you have to be diligent because if you put vinegar down the drain there, or there's other products you can use, but you put that down there and then you use the tub, you just flush it all away. So you got to keep doing it for a while. So give it like a week and just make sure that it's always something in there, and eventually you'll get rid of them. But they are pretty tough for a bit. You know, you got to be on top of it.
You know, I've also got another suggestion for you, Carl. Can I chime in here, guys?
Please.
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, maybe you want to take some Pine Sol and pour it down that drain, and then use a pipe brush to just clean those sidewalls really, really well. And like you said, keep at it. Yeah. Be diligent.
And the Pine Sol works good, too, because it's kind of got that oil base to it, so that once they hit that, they can't get back out.
I get so excited when I can answer a question.
Okay, well, very good. I'm going to try all of that again, and I will be patient with him.
Thanks, okay. Carl. You have a great Easter weekend.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Bumping up and down in my little red wagon. Bumping up and down in my little red wagon. Bumping up and down in my little red wagon. Won't you be my darling?
Good morning. It's Lindsay Smithwick in for Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own WGN. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. But right now I'm taking a few minutes to talk about a company that I actually started myself a couple years ago. I just wanted to give it a little shameless plug here. Beboppers Music is a company that I started. It's a children's music class, actually. I used to take my kids to, or Sadie, now she just comes to my class, but I used to take Sadie to a music class down here in the city, which she loved going to. They played all the, you know, normal kids' songs, Five Little Monkeys, Twinkle Twinkle. And I have a long history of musical talent, I guess, in my I've been singing forever. I kind of play the guitar, but I thought, hey, I could do this. So I picked up a guitar and I learned the basic chords, Twinkle Twinkle, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And I actually started this company up in Lake Forest at Elowa Farm. I do a show every Wednesday morning at 11:15 for kids. I would say like 6 months to four. I have so much fun doing it. If you know, or if you have any grandkids or kids of your own that you'd like to bring, I really, I would love to meet you. We've actually had some WGN listeners come up before, which has been pretty cool. Like, oh, we heard about you on Lou's show. But yeah, it's fun, and it's great for the kids.
We did it. We were talking off air. We did it with our kids as well. If I had young kids, I would totally come. I could totally see you doing that. Like your personality, you're very bubbly, very friendly, and I could just see you connecting very well with.
I just want to go because I want to hear Five Little Monkeys. I never heard that
before.
Oh,
it's a big hit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Here, play it up, Lindsay. I'll sing it for you.
Five little monkeys jumping on the bed.
Okay.
One fell down and bumped his head.
Oh, I thought he.
You've never heard that?
You know this one.
I thought he was dead.
No, the mama called the doctor.
And
you know what the doctor said?
No more monkeys jumping on the bed. Come on, Mike.
Yeah.
I'll give you a free class. Come on up.
That's way after my time. Way after my time.
No, it really is one of the highlights of my week. It's so fun to see these little kids bopping around. I also do private parties. I've got a Facebook page. You can check it out. Beboppers Music, birthday parties all over the place. So feel free to reach out or come see us. The reason I played Little Red Wagon, though, that's the Rafi song on the way in, was, like I said before, Wednesday is National Little Red Wagon Day, and our friends over at Radio Flyer, which is, you might know, a local company here in Chicago, they are giving away one lucky winner. A wagon away to one lucky winner. So I'm thinking that seventh caller at 312-591-7000 is going to get a little Radio Flyer valued at $100. Very nice. These wagons can be used for hauling around your kids and also, of course, hauling around any of those spring gardening tools that you are
doing
this season.
We have a wagon.
For racing.
It's a portable cart. I mean, they're not just for kids anymore.
591-7000. It looks like we're getting calls on.
Oh, geez, yes.
The other lines.
Everybody wants it.
Whoa, it just, the lines blew up.
Yeah. All right, this is going to take a while.
No, it's fine. Bennett's got it under control. We're going to go back to home improvement here. So let's take a text. What do you guys think?
All right. Okay.
All right. Okie doke. I have lighted light switch plates in my bedroom that recently have started to flicker. Why and how can I get them to glow solid again?
The bulb inside of the light of the switch is going bad. They cannot be replaced. You're best off replacing the switch.
Well, now it's going to be LED too. If it's an old one, it might be an incandescent lamp in there.
Yeah.
For what it costs, I would just replace the switch.
Yeah.
All right.
Bang, boom, done. All right,
bang,
next.
Bang, next. Yeah. All right. 708, what is the order for fertilizing and overseeding a lawn? Crickets. Geez.
Mike is our resident lawn expert.
Yeah, I've got a
He's
green
got green thumbs. I can see him from here.
Have you seen my yard? I'm sorry I hire people to do that because I don't.
I heard Lou say.
Would kill me because I had to do it as a kid and I always hated it. So.
Okay, and I am a fan of the show and I did last week listen and I did hear Lou say last week that it is too early to put fertilizer down, that the ground is still too cool. Now, I don't know if a week's time would change that, but I'm with Mike. I'd be the first to tell you that I also outsource all that.
Okay. All right. Number two down.
All right. Moving on. 630. I had raccoons invade my attic space and now getting the insulation replaced. Batting insulation is in there now. Should I get replaced or should I replace the batting or get blown in insulation?
Blown in.
Blown in.
Definitely better.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are good.
Yeah.
Okay. And make sure those raccoons can't get back in. You know, once they get in, they remember that space. So make it unpleasant for them and make sure that they can't get back in.
All right. What does Lou say? He says something about taking a flashlight to find out what.
You know, I had him in one of my places and I used, there's a spray that's basically pepper and you spray it all over and they walk on it. And once they do that and it gets on their paws and then they start getting it on their face, they have a very unhappy experience. And when they have an unhappy experience like that, they don't come back. So that's the key.
Well, I wouldn't be coming back, that's for sure.
I like pepper.
Mm. Well, to a certain extent, yes. To a certain extent. But when it's in your eyes, it's not good.
No. And I wouldn't be licking my feet either.
Yeah.
All right. 815, I'd like to enclose my washer dryer in a nice looking cabinet instead of the bifold doors I now have. Are there drawbacks to this?
Yes. Washers move. They spin, they shake, they do all kinds of crazy things. So the other thing you would, again, not knowing what kind of dryer it is, but I would also be concerned about a gas dryer being enclosed in a cabinet. It doesn't mean you can't make your washer and dryer look nice. There's lots of ways to do that, but I would not build it into a cabinet per se.
No, if you want to do like a cabinet front look, like you would do with a refrigerator, you have a panel, you could make doors that look like your cabinetry, mm-hmm. you know, bypass type doors or something like that, I would be okay with, but not putting it in a cabinet. Plus, you have the heat just from the dryer mm-hmm. and possible moisture from the dryer, which would cause problems.
Very good. And right. one more text here, 773, I need new gutters and want to get covered ones. There are ones with a solid cover and others with a fine mesh cover. What do you recommend?
You know, everybody's got a theory on those. Unless you really can't get to your gutters, I like not having them, and I just go and clean the gutters because I've seen the other types where they collect debris also, and it's almost harder to get it out, especially like the ones that look like a sponge almost.
Mm-hmm.
Everything sticks in those, and then you got to pick it all out. So, you know, it's personal preference, I guess.
I agree. I was never a fan of any kind of gutter guards for those reasons also. And but I will say I do have screens on mine now. It is a screen, and it's like 3 or 4 foot sections, and mm-hmm. they do come out fairly yeah. easily so that I can get the stuff out. Because even with the screens, there is some stuff that makes it through those small seeds.
Those whirly birds get caught in yeah. there, those seeds. Those are the worst. Yeah. But, yeah, so...
Thanks, guys. All right.
I'm not sure. Does Lou have a gutter?
Actually, raindrop mm-hmm. gutter guard is one yeah. of the covered ones. The mm-hmm. mesh, I don't know that much.
And, but those are usually applied.
They all kind of do certain things, and the covered ones are nice, but when you get a heavy rain, it goes right over it.
Mm-hmm. It can, yeah.
Yeah,
can.
So it yeah. just comes down like a waterfall anyway. But you know, you don't always have that heavy of a rain, so then it works. Like I said, it's all personal preference, I think.
We need to get those pretty soon on our in our new house.
Yeah, all of them help. It's just a degree of, you know, is it a totally fix everything solution, or is it a it makes it better and I don't have to have my gutters cleaned every or three times
the
a year.
The maintenance may be less, right. but you still have maintenance.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Bennett, we had a winner of the radio flyer, correct?
Yes, it was George from Montgomery.
George from Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Bouncing
way west.
Bouncing in my little red wagon. I love that. I think they're actually going to send me one, too.
Oh, see, that's it.
I know.
It.
I'm really excited.
Okay.
That was my
now
idea.
Now we see where this is going.
No. They offered to send us one. They said, actually, it's my show tomorrow, so we could actually give one away if you want. And they thought it was a great idea. Also, I forgot to mention, you can go to radioflyer.com. They are giving one away on Wednesday as well. So thanks to you guys so much.
I didn't realize they were a local company. That is news to me. Where are they? Do you know?
In
where?
Chicago.
Do you ever get free stuff, Bob?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Did you ever? Yeah. What was the question?
Does he ever get free stuff? You didn't get me free stuff, did you, Jim?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. I just doing a little quick tally.
This isn't like the Oprah show yeah. here.
You get a free cup of coffee, and you get
a
free cup
of
coffee.
You get a wagon. Yeah. Yeah.
She gets a $100 wagon. We get a cup of coffee. Okay.
I guess it's even.
Oh, it's for the girls, though. They're going to love it.
All right.
They're going to love it. All right. It's time to take a quick break. Coming up, we will take more of your calls. 312-981-7200. Only 45 more minutes left. We're almost there. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Dean Richards from Sunday Mornings here on WGN and the WGN-TV Morning News. Now back to Lou Manfredini, a Dean's List A+, and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thanks, Dean. But it's not Lou. It's Lindsay Smithwick in for Lou. I'm normally behind the producer booth, but today I am at the mic. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by wetandforget.com and Ace Hardware. Joining me, I've got Mike Holmes with Creative Carpentry and Jim Sullivan, who you just heard read that last spot there. Thank you.
I thought I'd give your vocal cords a break over there. You know,
it's a team effort.
Yeah.
Did he get a freebie for that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. I knew
funny.
I should have read that.
Mm-hmm. Very funny. All right, we've got a lot of phone calls here.
Yeah, we have to catch up. We have some catch up.
Catch up. Now, I think George in Montgomery actually won the radio flyer, but so he must have had like two phones in his hand because he's also been on hold.
I was going to say he definitely won the award for the most amount of time on hold.
Yeah. So
he's been very patient.
Well worth it, though. Okay, here's George. Hey, George, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys doing? First of all, thank you so much for that. That's amazing.
That's awesome. What are you going to do with it?
You know, I have a neighbor and with a special needs child, and they never really get to leave the house. So I think that'd be really good for her.
Oh man, that's like a double bonus.
Wow,
isn't
nice.
It?
That's great.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Very, very nice of you. Very nice.
They're really good people. They really deserve it.
That's awesome.
So thank you for that. I appreciate it. And also, I have a really, if I could backtrack an hour really quick before my question. My grandmother used to say the same thing. She used to say that she spent the first 2 years of my life teaching me to walk and talk, and the next 16 telling me to sit down and shut up.
That's nice. I like it.
We have a lake house, and there's like a little dry cabin, a 20 by 20 cabin we use for a shed in the back. It had a really small opening for the doorway, and we couldn't fit ATVs, anything inside. So what I did was, I just increased the width of the doorway by just using a chainsaw and then end up using a sawzall on the bottom just to cut off the logs, you know, to make it wide. So I did that. When I got to the last two logs across the bottom, I noticed that, you know, my blades were getting dull and I was cutting through some hard timber. Come to find out, I was cutting through a couple of metal spikes that were anchoring it to the ground.
Okay.
Now, I'm trying to figure out, now, do I need to somehow from like the side or the front or the back kind of re-anchor the new edge that widened the door?
What is the fixture sitting on? Is it just a dirt foundation or do you have a foundation?
You know, there's no foundation. It's like a limestone inside. I'm assuming dirt underneath it or maybe some gravel.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like the logs go into the ground. If I were to dig down, maybe it looks like maybe there's two or three going down into the dirt about a foot and a half.
Okay, and from the opening to the outside edge, you know, you've got a wall with a door in it. What is the remaining amount of timber either side of the door? Does that make sense?
I want to say about on either side. It's right. The door is centered, so on either side, I want to say it's maybe about 9 feet.
Okay. Yeah, because typically when you're doing those type of stakes, you're going like every 3 or 4 feet. And what they've done is as they set a few courses, they core a hole through it and they run this rod down into the ground. And you may have taken them out. Now, if there's that much left and it was maybe just a novice doing it, they may not have put as many of those anchors in. So the thing I'd probably say without dismantling is if you can, in the doorway, add some steel stakes going down right against the jamb and then just take wood, you know, 2x4 type of product and make a door frame encapsulating those rods. You know what I mean? So you're putting like a stake on either side of your rough cut opening.
And secure the rods to the existing logs.
Yeah, and secure the rods to the existing logs and try to have it hit like 3 courses. Does that make sense?
I think we lost him, but he's listening.
Okay. But I think that should take care of your problem. You may need to widen your opening a little bit if you still need a certain distance for your ATVs and toys. But that's what I would recommend.
That was like Charlie Brown's teacher to me. I have no idea, but you guys sounded really smart.
I've looked into log homes, and they're very unique structures, and so I got a little enough knowledge to make me dangerous.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, and thanks to George. It is time for another quick break. We will be right back.
Hey, this is Steve Bertrand. Now back to my friend Lou Manfredini and the Mixer Fix It Show. Wait, I broke that one. Lou Manfredini, Hey, this is Steve Bertrand. Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Mr. Bertrand filling in for Judy this morning, coming up at 10 o'clock. Him and Kathy are on the job. Let's see. Oh, this is Lindsay Smith.
The B Plays here with your early pregame for Blackhawks Calgary.
Oops.
That hurt.
Lindsay Smithwick in for Lou Manfredini this morning, trying to fill in. I am joined by two experts, Jim Sullivan. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
With Tate Enterprises and Mike Holmes with Creative Carpentry.
Hello.
We've got 25 minutes left, almost there. We've got some calls and texts still to answer. This is normally the part of the show where we do Just Text Me, but we've kind of been doing texts back and forth all morning, so I think we're going to do a few more.
Hey, can I throw something
sure.
out there? This is my favorite time of year, not just because the weather's changing, but this is a time of year where everything is fresh on people's minds of all the problems their homes had over the winter.
Yes.
Leaky windows, roof problems, all that kind of stuff. And so this is right around tax season here is like perfect time to really evaluate your home and kind of think about the things that you did not like over the winter but could not take care of because it was winter and start to put those lists together because this is really the prime time to kind of get those things done. And that's all I want to say. It's a good springtime in addition to sump pumps and all that kind of stuff. But again, there's a lot of things that, you know, happen over the winter that you can't deal with.
Yeah, to start checking, see what damage the winter has done to the outside of your home.
Yeah. Yeah, I always think about it because I have a window in my family room that leak that is not the most energy efficient, and you don't notice it at all in the summer, right? Because there's no cold air coming in, but then I always forget about it in the summer when I should be replacing it.
That's unusual because most remodelers have perfect homes.
Right? Are you familiar with the shoemaker story?
Yes. This weekend, I'm putting in a fireplace. That's why I say I'm working on my house. Well, my wife, she does the wine pouring gigs. That's her passion. So she will be doing that, and I will be doing some home repairs.
Are you doing masonry? Like, are you like a brick fireplace?
I'm very contemporary. I'm doing LED. I'm going for that very sleek, linear look.
Oh, nice. Fancy.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, very
will it have heat as well?
Yes.
Nice.
So where do we even start for your home improvement during the spring? I mean, you kind of just have to stand back, right?
You start with the roof and go down from there. We don't recommend people climbing up on ladders, but a pair of binoculars or peeking out windows, you know, looking at lower roofs, stand back far enough, see if you have any shingles missing, and just start working your way down. Make sure the downspouts are all correct, gutters are hanging correct, siding hasn't gotten blown off. Or damage from, you know, something flying in the wind. We've had some pretty heavy-duty winds this year. Tree branches that are scraping against the house and causing damage, you want to get those trimmed back. And we tell our clients, start making a list. This is a honey-do list kind of thing, and if you're honey don't, we do. So you can kind of just start making a list, and we can come out there and help, you know, correct some of those problems. But get it all situated, you know, before you're ready to start entertaining on your deck and doing all of that.
Nice. And, of course, the rain season.
And rain season.
The sump pumps and, you know, basement kind of things like that. It's been a really mild winter, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe El Nino also means it can be very wet in the spring, no? Isn't that part of El Nino? It's very rainy.
Get those downspouts away from the foundation. Right. You know, that's going to be your first thing to keep your basement dry and make sure those sump pumps and battery sump pumps are working.
Definitely get a jump start on that before it hits, right?
Yep.
Yes.
It's
sure.
a fact. All sump pumps fail.
They do.
Yes, they do.
Manufacturers say 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. Sump pumps are good for 5 to 7 years. That's from a good quality sump pump manufacturer. Mm-hmm. So and even good sump pumps.
Those people who say, well, mine rarely ever runs, that's even more reason.
Right.
Because if it's not running regularly, it starts to seize up.
Right.
So
just like a car.
It needs to be worked out.
Yep.
Good.
Okay.
Well, thanks, guys. I'm going to put your information up, too, on Lou's Facebook page. So if anybody wants to get a hold of you for any projects after the show, they can reach out to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. What about a text here? How about moles? How do we get rid of moles? This was
I think you should see a doctor. They can be removed with
every
lasers.
6 months.
Yes.
You're supposed to get them examined, measured.
Moles.
He had asked what Lou's recommendation was, because he's obviously talked about this plenty of times before. So I sent Lou a quick text, and he replied back to me with, "I'm on vacation.
Leave me alone. It's your damn show. You handle it."
But then he did say to change the soil pH with Jonathan Green Magic Cal and a lawn roller.
That's what I would have recommended.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, you know, right after fertilizing.
All right, we won't bother him anymore. Man.
Okay, so we don't do lawns. You know, we try to cover everything else.
Isn't that a little rodent?
It's a little rodent. They're cute little guys.
What about ants? Best natural solution for ants in the home?
Well, if the uncles are no longer around, then I would encourage you to get them dating again, because that would get them out. Ants, again, you know, it's a two-source thing. They need food and water, so you got to eliminate those things. Carpenter ants can be tough, but, you know, if you've got a bad ant problem, then I recommend getting a service, because they can be pretty tough to
Before you want to call a service, he suggests taro ant baits a lot. That's kind of his go-to. So
usually when we're talking about ants, it's carpenter ants. That's when people call us, because of the damage that's been done. And once they're in, the best way is spraying to get rid of them, because they get into your home, into the cells of the wood itself, and it's tough to get rid of them.
Oh. But as you said, what's bringing them in is, like you said, you got to get rid of the source, which is if you've got carpenter ants, you have a water leak somewhere, and that's what's drawing them to it.
And then the wood is their food source.
Yep. And like they say, Mother Nature always wins, right?
Yes.
What about 773? Garage floor is wet and damp. Can I use a dehumidifier? No roof leaking.
You can. Or just a fan. I mean, if you have a dehumidifier and it's capable of handling that size volume, you can use a dehumidifier. This, a lot of times, the concrete does sweat a lot this time of year. Maybe not so much this year, but when you go from a freeze to thaw, you do get a lot of condensation, particularly in a concrete slab in your garage. But a fan works well, too, if you just keep some air moving through there so that it can dry the air out and keep just air moving. But if you have a dehumidifier, that's good, too.
And moss. How do you get rid of moss? I'm going to jump in here. I think that Lou would suggest first pressure washing, whatever it is that's got the moss on it, such as a deck. And then his go-to product is wet and forget.
Mm-hmm.
So spray that on, wet it, forget about it, let the wind and the
start
rain
start up the barbecue.
Do their work. So
I always think of wet and forget, like, you know, the spray shower stuff that you spray inside your shower every time you shower. Wet and forget is like the exterior version of that.
Yeah.
Well,
in a sense.
Right? You spray it on, you let it do its job.
I think it's the same company.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. There's wet and forget shower, and then there's wet and forget.
There you go. See? That must be why my
mind
thinks.
You obviously forgot.
That's just the way my mind thinks.
Okay, 312-981-7200. Let's go back over to the phone lines. We have Jerry in Lincolnwood. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Lindsay. We got to talk to Lou to get you a big raise, because you're doing a splendid job.
Jerry.
Lou works for her now.
This is my aunt. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Jerry. Okay. What can we do for you?
I got a real freaky thing. I hope you can help me. I put in a new furnace last December, and I'm having the same problem I had with my old one. That at least once a week, when it goes into the cycle, you know, when it cools down and it blows a little cold air, well, like I say, at least once a week, it just keeps blowing for hours, the cold air, that it almost feels like somebody switched to the air conditioning. Did you people ever hear of anything so freaky?
Maybe.
I can't say I have.
Where is the furnace located?
Well, I'm in a condo, and it's in a little room right next door. I call it the closet because it's outside of the condo. But I can't believe I wound up with the same problem that I had with the old one. I thought by putting in a new one, I would get rid of that problem.
So you're saying it goes into the heat cycle, and then...
No. When it switches from the heat to cool, you know, when it starts cooling down, I know that it blows a little cool air. But at least once a week, it just doesn't go back to the heat for hours.
I guess you're losing me on the cooling down. Your furnace is off, and then your thermostat says, okay, it's time to deliver some heat. So it kicks on the furnace, and it starts heating up and blowing warm air into your home. And then at a point, the furnace part shuts off. the blower keeps going for a little bit to clear the air out of the ductwork, and then that shuts off. You're saying time between...
But like once... Excuse me for interrupting.
No, that's
but
okay.
Like about once a week or a little over once a week, it just keeps blowing. It never goes back. For instance, it started Thursday, I would say, about 2 in the morning. I felt the change, you know, that the air was, the heat pad went off. Until yesterday, I would say about 4 o'clock, the heat finally came on. It was just blowing cold air, and then it gets colder and colder, and I get the feeling like somebody, a little munchkin sit in there.
Question for you. Do you have
The air conditioning instead of the heat coming on.
Do you have a programmable thermostat?
I think it's a regular one.
Okay, because I was thinking maybe you had a weird cycle put on your...
So I have a thought.
In fact, over the years, because I had this problem with the old one, the gentleman that came out that I was using at that time, they changed the thermostat a couple of times. They thought that was the problem. I don't know, like I say, it's the freakiest thing.
I have a couple of thoughts. One, on the actual thermostat switch, do you know if the fan is set to auto or is it set to on? So in other words, you can...
Auto. And I've tried sometimes switching it to fan, thinking maybe something isn't catching, but most of the time it's on auto.
And is it a gas furnace or electric?
It's a carrier. That's all I know. I don't know if that's gas or electric.
Because one thing that might, and again, this is a total guess, but I would think your furnace guy could have figured this out. But at any rate, one thing that it could be doing is what's called short cycling. And what that means is that your furnace kicks on for a very short amount of time, and for some reason the furnace has decided that there's something wrong and that it needs to shut the gas off. And when it does that, the fan will continue to run even though there's no heat being produced. And then it will try again. And then if it still can't, you know, do all of its safety checks to make sure that everything is working properly, it can do that several times before it finally says, forget it, I'm not going to start. And then it will completely shut down. And then maybe a little bit later, it will start up again. And I'm wondering if maybe one of the causes, especially since you've just had the furnace replaced and this isn't a new problem, is that the actual room that furnace is in is not providing enough combustion air for the furnace to make a good fire. And so the sensors inside the furnace are saying something's not right. We got to shut down. And then
is there something that could be fixed when I call back my heating man?
Well, one thing to try, here's what I would try. Try for a week just leaving the door to the furnace room open and see if that stops.
This is an outside area,
yeah,
correct?
It's in the hall. It's right next
It's in a hallway. It's not exterior?
It's in your condo, right?
No. It's actually a room, like a closet. There's a door next to my door leading into my unit.
Okay. I thought it was an exterior.
So if you can leave the door open.
Like I say, I refer to it like a closet because it's a lot, because it's in a condo and there's other people on the floor and everybody has their own separate rooms for their heat and air conditioning.
Yeah, so if you could try leaving the door open and try that for a week or so, and then see if that fixes it. And if so, then you need to have have the furnace company come back out and figure out how to get more combustion air to that space.
Thanks, Jerry. We are just bumping up against time. We're going to take a quick break and be back with Lindsay's last call.
Happy trails to you.
And just like that, it's over. We did it.
Well, as a fan of the show, it feels the same to me. And if I may, I might just start calling you Loonzy. Is that right?
That works. That works.
Well, it is easier working when you can look at her.
It is,
while
we're
doing this. So.
All right. So we are going to take Lindsay's last call. What do you think? Sponsored by Townstone Financial. Really quick, Townstone Financial is also doing something great with Lou. Please donate to Misericordia's Candy Days. We're getting a jump start with Lou's virtual candy jar. Just go to WGNradio.com/events. Our goal is $5,000, and Townstone will be matching that. There is no donation that is too small. All right, Laura is in Highland Park. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Lindsay. Quick question. I have a 25, I have a ranch, 25-year-old roof. We put it on as soon as we moved in. I'm up there cleaning the gutters twice a year, fall and spring. And my husband feels because it's 25 years old, it must be removed. And it will be a complete tear-off. I'm up there. I think it's fine. He says, you know, you hear these roofing companies advertising 18 years as the life of a roof. What do you guys say?
There's different things that can affect the longevity of the roof. But when you're up there, you're cleaning the gutters. Are you seeing a lot of the material, the little
the tar pieces?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the granular stuff from the shingles is in the gutters. Yes, okay. I do see that.
Well, that shows that it is wearing down some. Are they starting to, any of the edges starting to curl up at all?
I don't think so, no. Okay. I don't think so. I mean, but we have to start interior work. And my husband feels before we start interior, we should replace the roof.
I have to give it to your husband on that, because you can do all the work on the inside and get one roof leak and screw up everything. So, you know, it's probably getting close. It may not be critical at this point, but it probably is getting close. And if you're planning on doing interior work, I would recommend now rather than later.
Fine. Okay, fine.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, so usually I side with the woman because I think it's a smarter move. So.
Okay. Well, I felt because I'm the one up there all the time that I know more than he does. But, so 25 years, I'm pushing my limit. And before I do it, because I were doing interior painting and floors and whatever. Okay, fine. I just didn't want the expense of the roof.
I know. It's a hard one to swallow. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, all right, Laura. Take care. All right. Before we take our last break, I just want to say thank you so much to my fine experts here, Jim Sullivan with Tate Enterprises, Mike Holmes with Creative Carpentry. Thank you for being my safety nets and helping me through these past 3 hours.
Oh, gosh.
You guys are awesome.
Always a blast.
So much fun. So much fun.
Bob Ferguson, our engineer. Thank you, Bob.
He's always good.
He's always good.
Yeah.
And, of course, Bennett Wakenight, my producer, which sounds so funny saying, thank you so much for all of your help. Oh,
Anytime. And
first time working with him, but he did a great job.
He was awesome. And, of course, I've got to thank Lou because he gave me this chance to sit up here at the mic, which was really fun. And I hope that I get to do it again soon, maybe next weekend.
Sure. We're on. I think I'm clear.
I just booked Lou a flight next weekend, so we're good. We're on the clear.
All right.
I could either be home listening or here doing it. I mean, you know, it's either one. That's fine.
I actually requested the weekend off already next weekend.
Yeah.
You know,
can I put a request for Andrea then? Because I like her. She's fine.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well, you're first, but
no,
she's
no, I'm next. This is how it goes. Yeah, producer then gets the next spot.
All right. Thanks,
next
guys.
Next man up.